It is good to be with you all today. Let's just bow our heads as we gather in God's house. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to share together in worship in this place. We thank you for the promises in your word that even where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. And we invite you, by the power of your Spirit, to come amongst us, to meet with us, to touch our lives afresh. As we draw near to you, would you draw near to us? As we read your word, would you open our hearts and our minds to hear your voice speaking? We commit our time of fellowship here today into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have two verses in scripture that I wanted to open our service with today, and this is what it says. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As in Romans 5, verses 7 and 8, and I'm going to read them again. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Absorb that truth. You are loved beyond measure. While we were still sinners, didn't even wait for you to be good enough or even to come looking for him, Christ died for you. And we're going to sing of that wonderful, wonderful love. And the number is 619 if you're using a book. It's not, because you're not Mission Praise, are you? Such love, it's over there. Have a look behind me. And let's worship together. Came into this world to declare the glory of his Father, to show us the way to heaven, and then to die to be our Saviour. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living amongst men. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for in that garden where you prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And you went all the way to Calvary to be crucified, to bear away the sin of the world, that we might have access into the presence of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful love and your presence with us moment by moment. Even when we mess up, you are still there waiting to come and encourage and help. We seek your forgiveness, Heavenly Father, for those times when we do mess up with our thoughts and words and deeds. So often we have let you down time and time again, those things that we say, no, I'll never do that again, and hey-ho, here we are. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful love that drew salvation's plan and the grace that brought it down to man. Mighty gulf that Christ did span at Calvary. Lord, we seek your forgiveness for our weaknesses and our many failings. And as we confess our sin in our hearts to thee this morning, wouldst you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? That there might be nothing that hinders our fellowship with thee in this place. Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer today, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Come thou fount of every blessing. Let's sing together. Bible reading now is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 27. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might have some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Well, I was led to that reading, and we thank God for his word and those words of Paul as he wrote to the church in Corinth, because I've been feeling a bit sporty. Well, not really. In the last hymn, we were just singing about wandering, which is probably more my style, wandering away, drifting. Does anybody else drift? And you suddenly think, how did I get here? I didn't mean to be in this place. I didn't mean to be doing this thing, and yet you somehow, you meant to be there and you end up over there. And so my mother, as you know, most of you, is at home all the time, really. She doesn't watch the TV in the morning, thankfully, but we put the TV on in the afternoons. And what's been on just lately? Well, they've not been running overly well, not on ice anyway, although there was something going on the other day where they did do some running. They not only were sliding and going along with the skis like this, but then they took the skis off and were running up these steps, and I thought, that looks really exhausting. So I'm thinking today a little bit about running, and you might or might think, oh my goodness, I can't do that. I wonder if anyone around here has ever done any running. Anybody ever done any running? What sort of things have you run? Why have you done any running? Why might you do any running? Sorry? Oh my goodness! Why have you got a little boy running? Hey! Oh my, and what did he get when he got there? What did you get when you got there? What did mummy give you? A big cuddle. Can you run as fast as me? Albie, can you run as fast as me? Run, 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 run. Oh, he's good, he's keeping going. You're going to keep going. Oh, that's it, you win. You win. Very, very good. I have an earworm. Do you know what an earworm is? There's a song, and you can have a go at that again, Albie, if you want to run around again. You're going to run around again, because the earworm that I've got is run, 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 run. That's me, I'm done. The chorus of a song that's stuck in my head goes like this. Run, run, run in, run, run, run in, run, run, run in after me. Why do we run? Why do you run anywhere, apart from maybe get fit? I thought I was fitter than that, actually, and you puffed me out this morning. To run somewhere means to pursue something with earnest endeavour, to chase it down, to follow it quickly, to get the attention of someone maybe when you're trying to go on a date. They call that running after someone, don't they? Or what about when you go in a field with a bull in it? Or I'm sure somebody's run after a train or a bus just as it's leaving. And of course they lock the doors before they even go now, don't they? So you think you're about to get on and then they don't let you in. There's a wonderful picture of a man running in my head, so you've got to put it in your head now because I've not put it on the screen, running after someone in trouble to grab them. That's why I got Albie to do that running this morning, and he was welcomed with open arms. It's a very famous story, you'll all be familiar with it, because there was somebody who went off and got in a lot of bother by choice. He probably drifted a bit. He didn't perhaps do it initially. He was determined to go in one direction that wasn't right. And then you get in a worse and worse and worse and worse mess. And when he realized what a mess he was in, he turned round and said, you know what? I've got to go back to the right place. But it was hard for him. He was rehearsing what he was going to say. I wonder if these young children have gotten any bother at home that they might admit to. Well, the parents are smiling, so that's a good sign that at least when they do get in bother, they get a nice warm smile afterwards. In that story, the man turns around and says, I've got in a mess, but I don't think I can go back. I'm not sure I'd be welcomed. And you've got this wonderful image of God. You know what I'm referring to, the prodigal son. And it says the father did what? He ran to meet him. I was so appreciative that Albie did that for me this morning, because the thought of having someone waiting to grab you and meet you, you've got that love scene, haven't you? I'm not even going to try and act that out with anybody. You know the slow motion? Just go and grab somebody. And the warmth of the welcome. You can always run to Jesus. But even when you don't have the energy to run to him, when you turn to him, he's running after you, always running after you. The song that I had going round in my head, the chorus says, there's no one that can take your place, there's nothing that can separate. Oh, how high, how wide, how deep, the greatest love the world has ever seen. That is what is run, run, running, run, run, running, run, run, running after me. The goodness and the mercy of God. So you take nothing else away from this service today. I've no idea where any of you are in your own journeys in this world, but God knows. And you need to know today that his love is running after you. You might think he's not lost your file or whatever, but he's running after you. We can always run into the arms of God. But he's running after you. He's looking for you. He's searching for you. It's why his son died for you. That is how much God loves you. Now, I've got a little song. We're going to have a go at that. I'd forgotten about that. Do you want this? Because you're so special to God, I'd forgotten I brought that with me. On my tiptoes, I'm very, very tall. Can you be very, very tall? Or am I going to do it all by myself? Yay! And what about when you crouch down? Are you very, very small? It's disappeared. And then if you stretch your hands out, you're going to be very, very wide. And then we say, Jesus made me special. We're all special to God. And God is running after you with his love. Know that you are loved. And the song goes a bit like, where do we start? Can you give us a strum? On my tiptoes, I am tall. When I crouch down, I am so small. I stretch my arms out, then I'm wide. Jesus made me. We've got to do a big clap then. Can you do that? Special. Okay. Can we all have a go? You know, it's for adults too. Remember, you are special. Thank you, Mr. Music.
On my tiptoes, I am tall. When I crouch down, I am so small. I stretch my arms out, then I'm wide. Jesus made me special. Jesus loves me when I'm tall. Jesus loves me when I'm small. Jesus loves me when I'm wide. Jesus loves
me. Jesus made me special. Now, Carol's not here, so this is going to be a bit of fun now. Can anyone do signing? This is the last way. It goes like this. S. P. E. C. I. A. Oh, did I get that right? Yay, cool. Right, let's have a go then. Here we are. So it goes.
S. P. E. C. I. A. L. S. P. E. C. I. A. L. Woohoo! S. P. E. C. I. A. L. Jesus made me special.
Never forget how special you are to God, and he is running after you. Can we play the video song, please? Of We Can Always Run Into the Arms of God. This is a lovely new song. Apparently you're not overly familiar with it. So we'll sit, join in, or listen, whatever you'd like to do. That we can always run into your arms because Jesus has made a way for us. May we all know and experience your love this day as we are so special, all unique individuals, known intimately by you. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. You know everything about us and you love us. Thank you so much for this love. We pray your blessing in particular on the young people here this morning, that they, in their young lives, might realize how special they are to you. And they will not just know about you, but come to know you personally as their friend and saviour. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalm 139 also talks about some running that goes on. Are you often staying or going or whatever you'd like to do? Always nice to have you in with us. But if you're going to run off, we'll let you run off, Albie. Now you've got so good at running. Bless you. Run, run, run. Oh, all right. We'll let Nanny walk, shall we? Bless you. Have a lovely time together. Ooh, we've got some goodies. See you later. Psalm 139 verse 7 says this: where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee? Where can I run from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So where can we flee from God's presence? The psalmist says you can't. Wherever you find yourself, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, you can't get away from God. He wants to be close to you wherever you are. And we're going to sing an old hymn now. You know, some of you like these oldies. And this one has a lovely sentence in that simply says, and yet in love he sought me. Wherever you are this morning, know that Jesus is seeking to be just with you where you are today. Thanks, girls, boys. Well, I hope I haven't already tired you all out this morning with all that running. Maybe it's been a long time since you did any running physically. But when we think perhaps of where our mind goes, or even our time goes, how do we live in this world today? And when I was thinking about running, I've been thinking about running all month, actually. Last month was shining. If you remember, we were talking about shine. Shine, but don't put Jesus in there, put your name in there, because we are called to shine for Jesus. He's already shining, but we have a responsibility to also shine and to reflect his glory. And so this month I've been thinking about running, and you know, when you start looking through scripture about people fleeing or running, there are loads. loads and loads and loads of stories, and I keep finding different encounters. And I've got two in particular that I wanted to share with you today, and to see how you can reflect on them. Please don't think I mean this, although it would be good if we could run sometimes, I suppose, when you need to catch a bus. But we run internally as well as externally. And I was thinking, why? Why do you run away from things? Why do we run to escape things, perhaps? I've put down here for fear. We might run because we're frightened of something. Anybody else think of why you might want to run away from something? Shame, yeah. Hide yourself, shame.
Protection.
For protection, yeah. The disciples ran when Jesus was arrested in the garden because they were frightened. They needed protection. There's a man in the Old Testament called Joseph, and he ran. Anybody remember that one? When Potiphar's wife was trying to have a wicked way with him, and he left his jacket behind, so they say. He was fleeing a difficult situation for safety. Then there's another man who ran and ended up sitting under a broom tree. I always used to imagine as a child that there was a tree with brooms on, but we won't go there today. Do you remember who went and sat under a broom tree? Elijah was running away. You see, all these people, these are big names. You know, we're talking about Joseph, Elijah, the disciples. It's not any old bod. These are well-known characters that we would perhaps look up to in the scripture, but we find them running. It tells us that Elijah was fearful of his life from Jezebel, so he ran and sat under a broom tree, and then he said, "Lord, I wish I was dead." Now, in my mind, I say, well, why did you run away then? Because Jezebel would have done it for you. But that's a mental state when he was in. He just couldn't cope with life. Of course, the most famous person that ran away, who came to mind immediately when you think of running away in the Bible? Jonah, of course. Jonah. And you see, even in that situation, he was trying to get away from his responsibilities. He was being disobedient. Did God desert him? The big fish swallowed Jonah. God has got his hand on our lives, even when we're running perhaps in the wrong direction. So the two characters, that's just a few by way of introduction. If you've got your Bibles, the first that I wanted to go into in a little bit more detail is in Exodus, in the book of Exodus. So who am I thinking of in Exodus this morning, do you think? Moses. Another amazing character. There's so much about Moses. We've got 5 books in the Bible, and he made it into the New Testament. Moses, this amazing character. I'm going to read to you from Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. And it says, "One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw 2 Hebrews fighting, and he asked the one in the wrong, 'Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?' The man said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and thought, 'What I did must have become known.' When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses ran away," fled, he ran away. And so here we have a man, he's a murderer, and he's run away, and you'd think there's no hope for this guy. He's really messed up. He's tried to solve a problem by his own means. We never do that, do we? He was trying to solve a problem by his own means rather than looking to God for the answer, and he got himself in a right pickle and he ends up running away. And whenever we run away from situations when we've messed up, We can find all sorts of excuses not to go back and put them right, perhaps. Or is that just me? You see, we read from Moses. We know that's not the end of the Moses. You've got to read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses' life in the Bible did not end when he messed up and fled. God was still seeking him out. Oh, he settled down in Midian and he got married, had a family. But then there was one day when he was out, now being a shepherd, and he turns aside to see a strange sight. Turn aside. So important to turn aside, to wait on God, to look to him wherever we are. And what does he turn aside to see? Who knows the life of Moses? The burning bush that did not burn up. God was seeking him out. God was running after him. Even though he'd messed up trying to do things his own way and solve the problems by his own means and getting himself in a place where he shouldn't have been, God did not go the other way. God sought him out. And when he turned aside to look, chapter 3, verse 4, the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, and God called to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." Now Moses said, "Here I am." That's the turning point. That's the place of repentance. That's the place of acknowledging God, yeah, okay. Here we are. And he cares. And he reaches out to us, and he reaches out to all people. But then here's the challenge that comes with it, and that's often where we get stuck. Because God doesn't want to leave us in the messes that we create. He wants us to grow through them and become more like Jesus. And in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, we have an amazing discourse, I'll leave that for you to read at home, of how Moses changes from being the murderer, being comfortable, sitting in Midian, being a shepherd with his family, to the great warrior that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You see, whenever you run away, I've written down here, you always take you with you. Do you get that? That's always my problem. You know, wherever I go, I'm always there. And sometimes I wish I wasn't. You can't get away from you. And God says, that's okay, because I want to be there too. So we have this different conversation that goes on. And the first excuse that Moses says is, well, I'm no one special. Who am I? We never say that either, do we? Who am I that you would want me to do that for you? Who am I that you care for me? And then a bit later on in verse 13, if you've got your Bibles open in Exodus 3, he says, well, I won't know what to say about you. You're calling me to do this. Who are you? Who are you that's calling me? And he says, I am the great I am. Questions, questions, questions. We had a question mark somewhere, I think, Paul put together for me, didn't we? Lots and lots of questions. We never have questions, do we, when God comes into our life? Well, why did you let that happen? How did I get here? Why didn't you stop that happening? Always questions, questions, questions. Moses had lots of them. Who am I? Who are you? And then he comes up at the beginning of chapter 4. But what if they don't believe me or accept me? Now, come on, who's said a what-if statement? What if? What if the results are bad? What if the results are good? Questions, questions. And then he comes up with, well, I can't speak. I'm no good at speaking. Is that when he spells I can't, W-O-N-T? We wouldn't do that either, would we? We never spell can't, W-O-N-T. Perhaps we do. And then when he gives up on all these questions, well, who am I? Who are you? What if, what if, what if? I can't or I won't. He says, well, what about all of them? Why can't somebody else do it? And I'm reminded of the encounter of Peter in the New Testament and John when he says, what about all of these others? And Jesus just says to him, well, you follow me. I've got a job for each one of you, and it's personal to you. You follow me. Never mind about the others. So these questions, questions, questions. And I wonder if any of you are in a place like that today. Because wherever you are there. You can't run away from you. You can't run away from God either. God wants to meet you where you are. You don't have to worry about who you are or who he is or what if, I can't, I won't, what about them? Jesus says, I will supply your every need and I will be with you and I will restore you. And look how Moses' life changed. In Proverbs, there's a lovely verse that says, the righteous run to it and they are safe. Do you know where they run? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. When Moses turned aside, God was able to affect his life. Do you need to turn aside this morning and allow God to answer those questions you have in your mind and come alongside you? The choice is yours. Because he's running after you. Welcome to my earworm. But that's running away. And maybe none of you are this morning. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't know why she's talking to me. I'm not running away from anything. I'm big and I'm bold and I'm strong and I'm going for it. So what about running the other way? The second story I wanted to leave with you today is about running towards things. Because there's those two directions, isn't it? One, we can leg it away, or we can either go towards something. In fact, when you're running away from something, you're always running towards something else, aren't you? So why might you run towards something? I see little Albie running down there to his mummy, because he knew he was going to get a big hug when he got to the front. We promised him that. Maybe you want to catch that train. We've already got the image of the father greeting the prodigal son. In John 20, we read about the women at the tomb. They were desperate. They'd seen Peter and John had a race, didn't they? See who could get to the tomb first, because they couldn't believe the truth that was there. We have Peter knocking on the door after he was freed from prison to get in after the prayer meeting, and the little girl doesn't let him in. She runs and tells the others, Peter's at the door. Well, let him in then. You see, there's lots of stories in the Bible that involve running. The story I wanted to reflect on briefly now is in 1 Samuel. And this, again, another well-known story. And this one is to encourage us to know that God will be with us and supply our need. This young man was intentional in what he was doing. You can't run anywhere without the well, you can, but you need the right shoes and you need the determination and the perseverance to keep going. And we find here a man in 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to just read a few little verses and you'll know exactly what the story's about. Verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistines army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Hang on a minute, what's all this about? This is a little boy speaking to a big giant. Where does this strength come from? He carries on. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. What a speech. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, I'd be like, you might step out and be bold to start with. It's you're like, I'm on a mission. God's called me to do this. I'm up for it. And then suddenly what you're approaching starts coming a bit near. You're like, whoa, hang on. And you back off. Not David. It tells us in verse 48 of 1 Samuel 17, as the Philistine, this is the big giant, moves closer to attack him, it says, David ran. Which way is he going to go?
He goes towards him. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran again and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Such enthusiasm, such intention, such zeal. And so the question I pose to you based on this story is, what are you putting off that God wants to bless you in and help you go through? And he's just waiting for you to say, okay, I'm up for this. If you notice in that story, it's all about God's battle. It's God's battle. That's what we're fighting. So therefore, if God is in charge and God is in control, I've got to ask the question, why did he get five stones? Because if God was in charge, there's always that little bit, isn't there? Poor old David. I mean, he got five stones. Goodness knows what he was going to do if he missed the first time. I don't think he'd have had a chance to use the second one. But there was something inside of him where he'd got rid of all of the baggage of Saul's armor because he was going to give him all his stuff to wear. And there he was, empowered by the Spirit of God to fix this problem. He was running the race. He was running the race. He had been anointed as king. He was not yet king. He'd been sent off with the sandwiches to his brothers. And they'd even made fun of him. And yet he stood firm, knowing that God was with him, knowing that he was walking the path that God had chosen for him, and God was with him. I thought it was quite significant that it was not his own weapon that destroyed Goliath in the end, but Goliath's weapon. Because it was Goliath's weapon that he used to chop off Goliath's head. So whether you're running away from things, know that God knows, God sees, God is available to you. Or maybe you are in a situation like David is in, and you're like, well, there's this really big challenge that's coming my way. And I'm not so sure I want to go through this challenge. It's big. It's like a Goliath. It's a giant that's right in front of me. Well, Jesus has said, I will supply your every need. I will be with you. I believe God had his hand on that stone. And David did his bit. And God did the rest. We are called to be faithful. We are called to run the race that's set out before us. Let go of all the baggage. There's a lovely verse in Hebrews, isn't there? If you run the race with perseverance, the race that's set out before you. Can't quite quote it. Let me read it. I didn't put a bookmark in that one. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we had questions, and we have, what was the other one? Challenging. Oh, look at that. I didn't know what Paul had put together. Let's run as to get the prize. Oh, yes, bring your questions to Jesus. He's more than enough to answer. He wants a dialogue with us. The choice, though, is yours as to where you run. Run towards the problem or away from the problem. God's not going to let you go. Look how he used the murderer Moses. Look how he used the shepherd boy, David. Look how he can use each one of us where he has called us, as you personalize this into your own life. When anybody talks to me about things that require energy these days, I feel like sitting on the floor in a heap thinking. So we don't have to stay there, do we?
Because there's a lovely verse, one of my life verses in Isaiah, that says, "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles and do what? Run and not grow weary." I haven't quite worked out how the not grow weary bit works. And then I think, I should have by now. Because it's those that wait upon the Lord that run and not grow weary. Those that just keep running do grow weary. You need to get things in priority. Give it all to Jesus. The words of my run after me is this. It says, "I have tasted, I have seen the realness of your love for me. It's written on your hands and feet. It's all the evidence I'll ever need. For your love is better than life. I can't even wrap my mind around it. One day here in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. For your love keeps on running, running, keeps on running after me. There's no one that can take your place. There's nothing that can separate. Oh, how high, how wide, how deep, the greatest love the world has ever seen." And it's run, run, running. Run, run, running. Run, run, running after me. What are we going to do with that love this morning? Going to accept it? Great. That's a good place to start. But when you're all in for Jesus, we need to then share that love, that other people can find out about a God who really loves them and wants a relationship with them. Are you all in this morning? Are you running as to get the prize? Let's just reflect and respond on that with our next song, which is Jesus, All for Jesus. For the choice is yours.
plan for our lives. And so we lay our lives before you afresh this morning. Lord, show us the things that are halting us in our stride, the things that are slowing our journey down. May we all know how much you love us and that you have a plan for our lives. So we lay our own plans, our own concerns, our questions, we bring them to you and accept the promises in your word that you will supply our every need, that you will never let us go. You are running after us in love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So just before we sing our final hymn, I just want to just be seated for a second. I had three little letters for you to take away with you. Because when you run in a race, I haven't quite finished. Sorry, I'd realised the clock has, but I hadn't. Sorry. I've got three little letters for you to take away. Does anyone know about the DNF? If you're running, there might be a DNS for sugar. There's a DNF and there's a DNS. And I did not start and I did not finish. Did not start and did not finish. So I pray today that there'll be nobody here that's not a DNS, a does not start. And we all need to be a DNF. We've got to keep going till we get to glory. And in seeing the Olympics with my mother last week, I found a new one. There's a DNI. Now, I had to Google that one. Hey, there you go. He knows that one. Did not improve. Did you Google it too?
No.
You figured it out. A DNI. I'm not talking about DNRs here. We're not doing a do not resuscitate. Let's not go down that road. The DNI. And apparently when these snowboarders were doing their twiddly-whittles and they gave up halfway, that means if they hadn't improved, they got a DNI because it wasn't any better than the last one, so they didn't bother to score it. A DNI. So there's your challenge. Let's not be a DNS. We know we're going to be a DNF. Keep going to the finish. But let's see if we can also improve week on week, month on month, year on year, as we run the race. Those verses I read to you, I will finish with from Corinthians. It said, do you know that in a race, all the runners run? That's all of us. But only one will get the prize. So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So I issue a challenge this coming days to run as if to get the prize. May this week be an improvement on last week as we walk with Jesus day by day. And our final hymn is, may I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. Thank you. So since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. May we each know how special we are to you, Heavenly Father. May we all know that you promised to be with us, and may that be a reality in our lives. May we set our sights on your agenda and lay ours down, knowing that whatever we've done, wherever we've been, wherever we are, we can be of service to you. For the world needs to see Jesus, and you have called us to this place for such a time as this. Use us for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we share the grace with one another? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.